How much would a jump in student loan interest rates really cost students?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Remember the big brouhaha over student loan interest rates, that if Congress doesn't do something, they're going to double? Well, today, something is being done. The Senate will take up a bill to keep the rates from going up to 6.8% in July. But scary numbers aside, what would the hike in interest rates really cost students and their families? Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale did the math.
President Obama has been touring college campuses from North Carolina to Iowa, stumping for another year of cheaper interest charges on some student loans.
And for each year that Congress doesn't act, the average student with these loans will rack up an additional $1,000 in debt.
Republicans and Democrats agree the lower interest rates should be extended and are only arguing over how to pay for it. But Jason Delisle at the New America Foundation says the interest rate cut won't really be that much of a break. Only a third of student borrowers qualify for the cheaper rates, plus the loans are capped at $5,500 a year.
If you can't borrow a lot of money, the interest rate starts to not become that much of an issue. You're not talking about a lot of money in terms of what does this do to a borrower's sort of average monthly payment. It's about $9 a month.
Delisle says the president and Congress are only considering a one-year extension of the favorable interest rate, with no mention of the fact that the entire graduate student loan program comes up for refunding next year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The billionaire investor who loves to buy stocks when all the rest of the big investors are scared says he bought a lot of stock last week. Well, his company, Berkshire Hathaway, did anyway. I'm talking about Warren Buffett, who told CNBC that Berkshire snapped up $60 billion worth of stock last Friday, but he didn't say exactly what the company bought. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up a fraction of a percent in Singapore, down across Europe right now, down 0.2% in London. The movie theater chain AMC Entertainment is apparently in talks to sell a big chunk of itself to a Chinese theater operator. That's according to the New York Times. AMC, by the way, has been around since 1920. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 29 points to close at 13,008.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. By GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by MassMutual, working to help people reach their financial goals for more than 160 years at MassMutual.com.
Last night, many of the world's great chefs gathered in New York City for an award ceremony that's considered the Oscars of the food world. It's also known as the James Beard Foundation Awards. The Humanitarian of the Year prize went to Chicago chef Charlie Trotter, whose foundation helps poor kids attend culinary school. It was a particularly bittersweet award because after 25 years, Trotter is closing his famous Chicago restaurant this summer. We are joined now by the man himself, Charlie Trotter. Good morning.
Good morning. Delighted to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you here, but tell us why you're quitting. Why are you hanging up the chef's
outfit? Hold on there, sailor. I'm not quitting anything. I'm actually closing the restaurant after 25 years, and 5 years of learning the craft and the business, and then now, come August, 25 years of running it. I thought it's time to return to academia, nothing more than that.
But, I mean, you're one of the greatest chefs in the world. Isn't this your calling?
Well, I've got a lot of callings. You can't just limit it to one. 5 years ago, I almost did this. I almost said, at 20 years, maybe I should do something that I've always wanted to do, which is return to the great books and continue to study philosophy and political theory and things that I love. So can't really do that and run a business at the same time. It really boils down to that.
Now, let me ask you about some of the things that I've read about your decision to close the restaurant. One, that it only got 2 Michelin stars in the recent guide. 2, that you've had business down 15% or 20%, according to you in the New York Times. And that maybe with a 25-year-old restaurant, you're no longer the fresh, hot thing in Chicago. Is any of that true?
Well, I don't know that. Who knows if it's true or not? It has nothing to do with it. I've been to every Michelin 3-star restaurant in the world, and some of them many times. I know we've accrued many accolades and other distinctions that we're proud of. But no, this is something I've been thinking of, as I just said, maybe you didn't remember, but 5 years ago I was going to actually do this. I mean, life's too short to just devote yourself to a single thing. And luckily for me, I'm interested in other things, and one must pursue those things.
Well, let me ask you about the business a little bit. When I was growing up in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, I remember my parents going up to your restaurant for a wedding anniversary.
I remember those. They were never on good behavior, to be honest with you. They were rowdy and maybe a little bit too much to drink, so that sort of thing.
Well, it was a very exciting meal for them. I mean, as I'm sure happens a lot with you, when people go to your restaurant, it's got to be one of the highlights of their year, at least food-wise. How much pressure does that put on you as a chef?
No pressure at all. Really, what you do as any sort of artisan or worker of any sort, you figure out a way to exceed expectations. Fine dining is the one luxury experience that's pretty much available to everyone. Not every day or once a week, but maybe once a year, because it only costs something like $100 an hour for the experience. And it takes 80 people to do it, whereas even the lamest plumber charges $115 an hour, and he's by himself. So fine dining is a luxury experience that is available and accessible to everybody.
Charlie Trotter, chef and owner at Charlie Trotter's in Chicago, which will shut its doors after 25 years this summer. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you so much.
And finally, to New York, where the Sheraton Hotel is about to complete a $160 million renovation. And according to USA Today, they have finally fixed the problem that is the number one source of guest complaints. Any guesses? I thought maybe it was that the water pressure in the shower was too low, or that there aren't enough towels or pillows or something. But in fact, according to the Sheraton's manager, the number one guest complaint is that the 50-year-old hotel doesn't have individual temperature controls in the rooms. And now it does. Hopefully that didn't eat up the entire $160 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You can't just have an Olympic Games, you know. There's security and logistics and lots of waiting in line. And in London right now, there's a certain amount of anxiety about that last one.
Britain looks embarrassed when people are queuing at the airports. And frankly, the Olympics is a disaster waiting to happen.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Stress tests, not for the banks, but on the Tube and at Heathrow. That's next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.